The church at Pergamon, faithful but flawed. In 29 BC, the Emperor Augustus gave permission for the city fathers to erect a temple in Pergamon and to dedicate it to the divine Augustus and the goddess Roma. Pergamon became the first city in all of Asia to build a temple dedicated to a living ruler. As I said earlier, many temples would follow in this grand city. But it was in this temple, Augustine's temple, that Christians were made to worship Caesar or die. Roman paganism and emperor worship made Christianity a life-threatening commitment. In the text I read in Revelation 2, a man's name is mentioned, Antipas. It's the only person that's specifically mentioned in any of the seven letters to any of the churches. Antipas. Jesus said, a faithful witness who was put to death in the city where Satan lives, Antipas. And even knowing that, Jesus said, you remained like him. Faithful. Tradition says that Antipas was taken into the temple, said one last time, pinch of incense, say the word, Caesar is Lord, you will live. And Antipas said, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. And they burned him. And the last words, Jesus is Lord. Charles Spurgeon, the great 19th century British preacher, once said, I am certain I never did grow in grace or faith one half so much anywhere as I have upon a bed of pain. Beds of pain for believers in the Pergamum church were abundant. They lived in what Jesus said was Satan's city, and yet they remained true. The believers in Pergamum grasped tightly and securely to the treasure of Jesus as their Lord. The text, verse 13, Jesus said, you did not renounce your faith. You did not deny me. You held on. Despite the promise and the certainty of death, the Pergamum believers stood firm with remarkable courage in God. Thus, I want to believe that across that church, if they had banners that hung from the walls, one banner would say, stay true. Another banner would say, hold fast. I think a banner in Pergamum would say, bloom where you are planted. They didn't run from the persecution. They didn't go to another city where the persecution was less. The church at Pergamum stood strong. Perhaps in their worship bulletin, I'm sure they had those, they had the poem by C.T. Studd, a poem for the church. Some wish to live with the sound of church or chapel bell. We want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. God had placed the Christian church of Pergamum in a unique and a strategic and a vulnerable spot. God had called them to be there, and they stayed. Stay put, is what Jesus said. The place where Satan lives, Jesus says it twice, where Satan has his throne, Pergamum. Well, fast forward to today. Tara may have written this, Lufkin Chamber of Commerce, located in the beautiful Texas Forest Country. Lufkin is filled with surprises for all ages. Discover how surprisingly convenient Lufkin is located to all the major cities. Explore throughout our city's unique opportunities for a fun weekend trip or regional conventional meeting. With a population that continues to grow, it's surprising how Lufkin remains peaceful and quaint while serving as a regional hub for retail, medical, industry, government, and more. It's also a surprise to find a city complete with superior bass fishing, top-notch golfing, state-of-the-art museums, an outstanding zoo, quality hotels, restaurants, an incredible, charming downtown, and the friendliest people on all the earth. With all of this to offer, it's no surprise to us why we know you'll love Lufkin. Or Lufkin may be a place where Satan lives. Be not dismayed, nor be ignorant. But with a heavy heart, we have to acknowledge that though Lufkin is this, Satan is alive and well in our community. Illegal drug use throughout Angelina County, I think, would amaze us all. You see it in the eyes of so many around us. Violent crimes continue. If you did not read the Lufkin Daily News, August 28th, an article about human sex trafficking in our city, you should go back and read that. Not with joy, but with a broken heart. Sexual abuse, family violence, and pure hopelessness is found throughout the city that we love. Isn't that why we spent $5 million, $3 million that we had to borrow to build a facility that accepts preschool and children and teenagers? Isn't that why we've chosen to stay in North Lufkin to reach out to our community so that Lufkin, all Lufkin, can know that we have hope and we want others to have hope and we believe in the family and we want families to come to know the person of Jesus Christ. For several months now, we have not done anything with our family life center through COVID, but I want to picture what that could be as a missional point for our community. It has been a great ministry, but I believe it can be more than it ever was in the past, a place for this community to say to our city, we offer hope and help and grace and love and faith. This is our city, our place. And I believe God has called us as surely as he called the believers in Pergamum to stay where we are and to make it better through Christ Jesus. We're called to be salt. We're called to be light. We're called to stay the course, to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. But beware. The message to Pergamum, faithful, faithful in the midst of persecution, faithful in the midst of the throne of Satan, faithful in the midst of all the stuff, but they were flawed. I believe that when this letter was delivered to the church and they all gathered to hear the reading of this letter, the church mothers and fathers were so excited to hear Jesus' words, you are faithful, you remain true, you are there. And then verse 14, nevertheless, they wanted to leave. Nevertheless, I have a few things, Jesus said, against you. idolatry and heresy abounded in the church at Pergamum. Now, you'll need to go back and read the Old Testament account in Numbers chapters 22 through 25 to understand what this reference to Balaam and Balak was about. As it relates to Pergamum, in summary, the Israelites centuries before had fallen prey to the worship of the Moab idol. And it was not good. It was a disaster for Israel, and God was not pleased. And now, all these years later, Balaam and that idolatry has crept in, not to the city, but into the church. False teachings in the church, immorality and sexual promiscuity were all prevalent in the church at Pergamum. This faithful church, but a flawed church. And the teachings of the Nicolaitans, we read about that in the letter to the church at Ephesus. It was a Gnostic belief. They said the body is here and the soul is here. The body can do whatever the body wants to do because the body and soul are so separate. So live your immoral life. Do whatever feels good, but you worry about the soul, that God is in the soul and not in the body. It was a very popular heresy, Gnosticism. In Ephesus, Jesus said, "I hate that heresy." Obviously, the Christians in Pergamum, they didn't hate it at all. And so here's the church, the faithful church of Pergamum, which is standing in the midst of persecution. They're being killed for their faith, and yet idolatry and heresy has crept into the church. Idolatry abounds among believers today still. I think when we hear the word idolatry, I'm afraid we have the wrong picture. We picture this big golden calf that we're going to roll into the church, and instead of the beautiful flowers, we'll put this golden image and we'll all bow down, and that would be idolatry. We picture this big image, this big idol that we're all going to come and give incense to. That's too simplistic. That's too easy, and it makes us too comfortable. One of my seminary professors, in one of his books, said this: "It is idolatrous for Christ followers to adopt unethical business practices, for they put financial gain above God. It is idolatrous for Christians to gossip and slander, for the practice dishonors the very name of Christ. It is idolatrous to engage in any immorality, for it dishonors the Spirit of God who lives within us." Idolatry creeps into our lives and into the church so easily. And false teachers, these Nicolaitans, false teachers and false teachings, listen, they just didn't stay in Asia. And they weren't just in Pergamum. Some of you have told me, "Pastor, I've loved during the COVID time of watching live streaming, and not only our church," they said, "we've been able to see many other churches, churches throughout the state, churches across the nation," and they begin to tell me some of them, and I say, "Yuck," because some of the ones that you're watching are full of false teaching. They just are. "Oh, if you will just donate to this ministry, send $500, financial blessings will fall like manna from heaven. We'll send you this little prayer cloth. We'll send you this oil. We'll send you water that came straight out of the Jordan River. But you got to send the money, 1-800-554-2-WWW. And people buy it. It is heresy. It is false teaching. God wants you to be happy and healthy, and if you have diabetes or heart disease or cancer, it's all because of sin in your life, and that is a lie straight from Satan. Be healed, boom," they say. They're charlatans in the church. You name it, You claim it, God will give it. I promise it. Send us some money. It's all around us. But don't overlook the legalistic, fundamentalist, pharisaical grace killers. They're the ones we really see on TV. They're the ones who have all the answers, holier than thou. They sound so spiritual. Paul had a word for them in Galatians. Paul said, I am astonished that you so quickly desert the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ. And now you're turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Some people are throwing you into confusion, and they're trying to pervert the very gospel of grace. Paul said, if an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach, let them be cursed. Grace. Paul said, you foolish Galatians in chapter 3, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was portrayed as crucified. Did you receive the Spirit by works of law? No, he said, you fool. You began with the Spirit. Why did you turn your back on the Spirit? The Spirit of grace. False teaching abounds. Some said, well, how do I know the difference when you find God's Word? You allow the Holy Spirit to indwell your mind and your heart, and you rightly divide the word of truth. Don't you believe what I tell you? Don't you believe what someone else? You let God speak to your heart. In Pergamum, they weren't doing that. In Pergamum, they were just, if it feels good, do it. Listen, there are also those who take grace and they cheapen grace. Grace is not cheap. Grace does not give you the license to sin freely. That's not grace. That's heresy. This church in Pergamum, they were faithful, but they were flawed. And Jesus would not allow them to continue in their mess, their heresy, and their idolatry. So is that it? Is it over? Thank goodness not. Verse 16, Jesus says, repent, therefore. If Jesus could only use a perfect, sinless church to accomplish the kingdom work, there would be no church left. If we had to be totally perfect without any sin in the pew or any sin on the pulpit platform, we would be useless. But the answer is not to continue to live as we want to live and do as we want to do. Like Pergamum, we have to repent. You know repentance. Repentance means you don't just acknowledge it. Yeah, we sin. Yeah, we're messed up. Yeah, we have some things that aren't right. Repentance says, I will change. Repentance says, I will confess I am wrong. The Holy Spirit has convicted, and I will turn from that life, from that wrong, from that muck, from that idol, from that heresy. I will turn. That gives me hope. That gives me hope for our church and for any church if we will but cast our eyes on God. If we will keep preaching grace and forgiveness and love, if we will keep looking and being who God has called us to be, faithful, and when we fail, when we fall, we repent, we turn back to God. God uses us with our mess, uses our churches. He wants us to be light. It is dark around us. As much as we love Lufkin, and as grand as Lufkin is, there is darkness. But we have the light, and darkness will never put out the light. Light will put out the darkness, but we keep hiding our light. We keep hiding our light. Salt will change the world if we will get it out of the salt shaker and let it be used. Don't miss the message. The letter to the church, almost as good as these kids' letters. Stay the course. Stay the course of the faithful witness in the midst of suffering and in the midst of a fallen, in the midst of a confused world. We are called to be faithful. And we're called to be true. True to ourselves, true to our Christian ethic, true to our Christian moral, true to our Christian calling. He who has ears, let him hear. Pergamum was faithful, but flawed. God help us to not be comfortable in Pergamum. Shall we pray? Oh God, I thank you for a place called Lufkin, Texas. I've never loved a town any more in all of my ministry. The friendliest people on earth, you bet. We love Lufkin, and you've planted us here. I'm grateful for church leaders who said, we're going to stay right here, downtown Lufkin. We're going to be who we are. You've called us. We're going to stay. God, find us faithful. Find us faithful. But God, we know that we're flawed. We know we're not perfect. We know we mess up. And if we're not careful, we'll allow the idolatrous behaviors that we have to come right into the church. If we're not careful, we'll allow the heresies of the world to be part of who we are. Oh God, let the Holy Spirit so live in us that we rightly divide the word of truth, that we preach truth and we live truth, that we stand for what's right. Not for what just feels good, but what is right. Thank you, God, for the letter of Pergamum. It makes us feel good, but it doesn't leave us comfortable. God, may our prayer be, let us stand on firm ground. Let us push to higher ground with you. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. The words...